Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. The work of a deacon cannot be defined precisely, simply because the Bible does not provide enough information for us to do so. However, the Greek word diakonos, from which the English word deacon is transliterated, gives us some insight. Diakonos is always rendered in the King James Version either minister or servant, except in three places where the word deacon is used. The Greek word involves serving or ministering, although the specific areas where they are to serve or minister are not spelled out. They serve under the elders and should be willing to accept whatever assignments the elders give them. That may be caring for the physical property, handling the money, working with young people, supervising the classes, and helping arrange the worship services. But whatever the elders ask them to do, they should do it diligently and enthusiastically. But what kind of men should serve in the capacity of deacons? Does the Bible furnish us with any information which will help us to make the right decisions about deacons? To answer these questions, let us turn to 1 Timothy 3:8 through 13. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let those also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their house well. For they who have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. I shall examine these qualifications of deacons. The word grave comes from the Greek semnos. The Greek word is translated honest, Philippians 4:8, and grave. The word does not require that one be morbid, solemn, or gloomy. It means that one must be serious-minded, understanding why he is called into the Lord's service. The word is closely related to the Greek word sebomai, which is usually rendered reverence, fear, or respect. Other translations may help us to understand the meaning of the word grave. The New Revised Standard Version reads, "Deacons likewise must be serious." The New American Standard Bible uses the word dignity. All of this says that deacons must be men of respect. Every church leader, elder, deacon, or preacher must be men who know the Lord, who have cultivated their character so that all who know them will have respect for them. How can church leaders expect to influence others to become Christians and to be more committed to the cause of Christ if the leaders themselves are frivolous, light-minded, and silly? Deacons must so live that others will learn from their devotion to the cause of Christ what it means to be a Christian. Incidentally, leaders have to earn respect from those with whom they work. We do not necessarily respect church leaders just because they happen to be in high positions. Deacons must not be double-tongued. Would that be the same as having a forked tongue, as American Indians are credited with saying? The Greek word dilagos is used only here in the New Testament, but it literally means saying the same thing two times. It is almost certainly used of a person who tells one person one story and tells something else to another person. The word requires that we be sincere and honest with all people. If deacons want others to trust them, they must not tell two different stories about the same incident or person. Deacons in the Lord's church must not be given to much wine. Elders are not to be given to wine. 1 Timothy 3:3. Deacons are not to be given to much wine. Does that mean deacons may drink a little, but elders must not drink at all? Incidentally, older women are instructed not to be given to much wine. Titus 2:3. The New American Standard Bible says elders are not to be addicted to wine. The New Revised Standard Version says, not a drunkard. In other words, neither elders or deacons are to be drunkards. Does that mean that they may drink a little without violating the teaching of Scripture? In the Gospel Advocate Quarterly, July, August, September 1970, Guyon Woods wrote very perceptively, "The use of any kind of alcoholic beverage by those who would influence others for good is prohibited. It is idle to argue otherwise. Social drinkers may think they are regarded for their liberal action by the people of the world, but such is not true. Even worldly people know that such conduct is incompatible with Christianity, and they feel little respect for the religion of those who drink with them." Page 18. But even if intoxicating wine were permitted for medicinal purpose in Bible times, it would not be wise to use it for that purpose in our day. We have hundreds of better medicines than beverage alcohol. Besides, most of our modern medicines do not cause those who use them to run over people on our highways. Neither do they cause men to abuse their wives and children. And modern medicines do not lead men and women to act and to talk like idiots. Wine is a mocker, the Bible says. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20:1. Do you want to put into your mouth that which takes away your brains? To quote from William Shakespeare. Deacons often handle large sums of money, sometimes into the millions of dollars. If they are greedy, they may be tempted to mishandle the church's money. That has happened many times, as every observant person knows. Deacons have been known to abscond with hundreds of thousands of dollars. That was Paul's reason for saying concerning deacons, not greedy of filthy lucre. Neither deacons, elders, or other church members should be greedy for dishonest gain. Paul does not teach, either here or elsewhere, that money is evil. He does say that the love of money is a root of all evil, 1 Timothy 6:10. But he does not condemn money per se. Human beings sin when they make money their God. Jesus made that truth plain in the Sermon on the Mount. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Matthew 6:25. Covetousness or greed is idolatry. Colossians 3:5. Deacons certainly are not to be idolaters. Some churches seem to believe that deacons are primarily responsible for the physical plant and for the money of the church, though their spiritual qualifications are not really all that vital. If people hold that notion, Paul dispels it very quickly. Deacons are to hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. 1 Timothy 3:9. The word mystery means secret. It refers to the fact that the gospel of Christ was hidden in the mind of God until Jesus came into the world to make known God's will. What was a secret in ages past is now known through the gospel. Deacons are to hold on to the faith which is in Christ Jesus. They are to be steadfast and strong, nothing wavering, to use James's expression, James 1:6. Deacons are to hold fast to the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Having a pure conscience involves living by the principles one has learned from Jesus Christ. The conscience of the alien sinner is cleansed by faith in Christ and obedience to the Lord in baptism. The Apostle Peter explains, "The like figure whereunto even baptism does now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 3:21. After one's sins are forgiven in baptism, then the Christian is to walk with the Lord always. A clear conscience is so very vital in our service to God and to our fellow men. One of the temptations many churches face is to choose a man for the eldership or for the diaconate without having given sufficient thought and prayer to the selection process. We feel we need someone to perform the functions of elders and deacons and fail to examine the qualifications for these offices. Paul urges churches to let the deacons be first proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. 1 Timothy 3:10. The selection of a preacher or an elder or a deacon must be done with the greatest care and after many days of prayer to God for wisdom and guidance. Mistakes in selecting any of these workers can come back to haunt churches. Deacons are to be proved. The word translated proved, dokimazo, appears 23 times in the New Testament. The word was originally used of testing metals. The verb means to examine with a view of either approving or disapproving. It is the kind of language we use in speaking of purchasing an automobile. The car salesman will probably say, "Take the car and try it." Will you buy a car, even a new one, without trying it out? Why would the church appoint an elder or a deacon without first examining the person for those offices? I'm sure you understand that the Bible is not requiring perfection for the office of an elder or a deacon or a preacher. If that were the case, there would be no elders or deacons or preachers. But the Lord wants honorable, dignified, and faithful men in these positions. The church cannot afford to have men who are not qualified. After the church has sufficiently examined men for the work of the diaconate, and the men have been found to be qualified, then those men are to serve as deacons. The King James Version says, "Let them use the office of a deacon." But the Greek would probably be better rendered, "Let them serve as deacons." Again, I urge you to think of the deacons in terms of service. All Christians are servants, but deacons are special servants. They serve under the authority and leadership of the church's elders. Paul uses the word blameless of deacons, just as he does of elders, 1 Timothy 3:2. However, the two words are not the same. The word used of elders means without reproach, without blemish, or without rebuke. The word used of deacon points to character which cannot be called to account. It says that nothing can be laid to one's charge, but neither word suggests sinless perfection. There are no perfect human beings. So how can we expect the elders or deacons or preachers and other Christians to be without any flaws? W.E. Vine says the word implies not merely acquittal, but the absence of any charge or accusation against the person. I'm aware that Paul does not mention what I'm about to say, but would not the diaconate be an excellent training ground for elders of the church? If a deacon takes advantage of the many opportunities he is given, grows in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, studies to learn about the great truths of the gospel, develops a good family, and remains pure in life, that should help him to grow to the point where he should be qualified for the eldership. That may not happen, and in some cases should not happen, but it is an area that churches ought to examine. We desperately need to develop elders of the church. There is probably no greater need among churches of Christ in our day than developing good elders. The eldership is the key to faithful and strong churches. Family qualifications of elders are listed in 1 Timothy 3, 4, and 5, and in Titus 1, 6. Having a good family is very vital to an eldership. But deacons also should have good families. Please listen to Paul. "Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things." 1 Timothy 3:11. Those who want to find scriptural justification for the churches having women deacons argue that the word wives in this context, gunaizin, can be rendered either wives or women. Even though that is true, There is nothing in this text or elsewhere which would authorize having women deacons. But was not Phoebe a deacon in the church at Cenchrea? Romans 16:1. The word diakonos is used of Phoebe, but the word means only servant. I wonder how many churches have appointed women to the diaconate because of the pressures of the women's liberation movement. Churches are obligated to follow the Word of God, not the women's movement. The wives of church leaders are so very important to their husband's service in the kingdom of God. Elders and deacons must be married. But no such qualification for preachers is found in the Word of God. Peter was a married man and an elder of the church. 1 Peter 5:1 and 2. Paul was not an elder and could not have served in that capacity because he was not a married man. Good wives can be one of an elder's greatest assets. They can inspire their elder husbands to serve more effectively, or they can be great hindrances. In my more than 50 years of preaching, I have seen both kinds of wives for elders, preachers, and deacons. Deacons' wives are to be grave, a word I have examined with you in our lesson today. They are not to be slanderers. Did you know that the Greek word translated slanderers is the same word used of the devil? Diabolos in Greek means slanderer, and is used of Satan in many New Testament passages. For example, the Apostle Peter wrote, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." 1 Peter 5:8. There is hardly any doubt that Satan was the original slanderer. Christians, whether men or women, are not to imitate the devil in being slanderers or false accusers. The wives of deacons are to be sober. Our word sober has come to mean refraining from intoxicating beverages. That was also the original meaning of the Greek word. But the word is used in English and in the Greek to mean temperate, self-controlled, sober-minded. The word is often used in connection with the word watchfulness. I have time to give you just one example. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." 1 Peter 4:7. It should not come as a surprise that deacons' wives are to be self-controlled. The wives of deacons are also required to be faithful in all things. Their faithfulness to the Lord must come first in their lives. That means being diligent students of the Word, regular in attendance at all services of the local congregation, a good wife and mother, and a responsible citizen of her community and nation. These are big orders, but they are vital to the growth of the kingdom of God. The wife is a steward of the blessings God has given her. Stewards are to be faithful in all their duties and blessings. Deacons, like elders, are to be the husband of one wife. 1 Timothy 3:2 and 12. Since the home is of such great significance to society, deacons are to establish and maintain the kind of home God would approve. Good homes were needed in apostolic times, but they may be even more badly needed in our day. Our world is filled with unhappiness, the divorce rate, and the tragedy of spouse abuse. Deacons and all other Christians are to model the kind of homes our nation needs. If Christians are not examples in this area, who will be? Church leaders ought to set the tone for families in all congregations. Homes are so desperately in need of good leadership. Deacons are to show by their behavior that they understand that need. They must rule their children and their own houses well. 1 Timothy 3:12. The word which is translated rule appears 8 times in the New Testament and is rendered either rule or maintain. The word is used 5 times in reference to elders of the church. The word literally means one who stands before. Lead may be a better translation than rule. The New American Standard Bible renders the Greek good managers of their children and their own household. We must understand that the father and husband is the head of the household. He is responsible to God for the welfare of his children. Incidentally, that arrangement applies to all husbands and fathers, not just to elders and deacons. One of the greatest problems with American homes is either an absent father or an indifferent one. Young people, both boys and girls, must have a caring father in the home if they are going to develop emotionally and spiritually as they should. While this is true of every home in America and throughout the world, it is especially applicable to homes of church leaders. Paul asked concerning elders, "If a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" 1 Timothy 3:5. We can extend this principle far beyond the eldership of the Lord's church. If Christian fathers and husbands do not take care of their families and provide an example of what Christian homes ought to be, what will happen to other homes and families in our world? Good Christian homes are the very backbone of society. Church leaders' homes ought to be the best in any community. Tragically, there are children of both elders and deacons who are disrespectful of their parents, unfaithful to their God, and troublemakers in the community. When this situation becomes known in the community, and it almost invariably will, it has a detrimental effect on the church. It interferes with the elders' ability to take care of the church of God. If the elders' children are still at home and behave in an ungodly way, the elder ought to resign. The elder may not be at fault, but his effectiveness will be seriously curtailed. I mentioned a few minutes ago that the diaconate would be an excellent training ground for the eldership. Paul does not use that kind of language, but he does say, "For they who have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." 1 Timothy 3:13. Every elder must have some way of learning how to lead the church. He may develop his talents and leadership qualities in ways other than being a deacon. But that surely is one way men learn what it means to be a leader in the church of the living God. Many current elders did not serve as deacons before becoming elders, but I am sure such experience would be valuable. Deacons under the leadership of the church's elders are to perform their assigned task to the best of their ability. When they do, Paul says they purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. The expression "purchase to themselves" literally means to lay by or to obtain or to gain. By being faithful in their work, they gain a good standing, both before God and before right-thinking Christians. Not only that, they gain great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. The term "the faith" refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the system of faith. Deacons through their work for the Lord are to gain much boldness. The word "boldness" means courage to speak freely for the Lord. They will not be ashamed to stand up and be counted for the cause of Christ. When a church selects men to be deacons, it not only bestows great honor on those men, it also lays great duties on their shoulders. If the men will grow in grace and in knowledge, they can be a tremendous influence for good. They can strengthen the hands of the church's elders and be good examples for others in the church and in the community. Many churches make the mistake of selecting elders and deacons just because they need those servants. We must never elevate men to these positions unless they meet the qualifications the Holy Spirit has given. If men are not qualified to be elders and deacons, they can do much damage to the cause of our Lord. Besides, it is much easier to appoint men to the positions of elders and deacons than it is to disappoint them. Having to remove a man from the eldership or the diaconate almost always causes trouble and even divides churches. Dear friends, the best policy to follow is to do Bible things in Bible ways. God has graciously given the church the pattern He wanted to follow. That is true, not only of having qualified elders and deacons, but in every other aspect of the church's work and worship. God alone knows what He expects of the church. We have no right to ignore His rules and regulations and substitute what we think is best. That principle appears both in the Old Testament and in the New. Reading the lives of such men as Noah, Abraham, David, and Daniel ought to show us the absolute necessity of following the Lord's pattern for our lives. God also has a pattern for what He requires of men and women who want to become members of the body of Christ. The New Testament demands that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. John 8:24. It also tells us that we must repent of our sins, or we will perish. Luke 13:3. We must confess our faith in Jesus Christ before men and before God Almighty. Romans 10:9-10. And then we are to be baptized into the name of Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. When one obeys the gospel plan of salvation, he is added to the church and is on his way toward heaven. God then demands that he worship regularly, live every day as if it were his last day on earth, reach out to those who are in need, and seek to teach others the way of the Lord. I urge all under the sound of my voice today to obey the Lord in baptism and live for Him every day. My friends, we thank you for continuing to listen to our program. Please listen again next Lord's Day. Until then, may our Heavenly Father richly bless you.